Tonight we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, and we want to read just a portion of Scripture here in the book of Hebrews, and I want to kind of zero in on one part, which will be found in verse 1, but I do want to read the first six verses of Hebrews chapter 3. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which went to be spoken, or which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing, the hope firm unto the end." Now tonight I want us to take the first part of verse 1, and actually about the middle, and I want us to think of the word consider. And then I want you to think about who we're considering, and that is none other than Jesus, Christ Jesus. So let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together. We thank you for each one that's here. We thank you for those that are viewing. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend time with you. Because, Lord, that's really what we're doing, is we're spending time with you tonight. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak to us. May we consider Christ in our life. May we consider our relationship. May we consider all things when it comes to Jesus. And Father, if there's someone that's troubled or someone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, whether it's here in the sanctuary or those that are viewing, Lord, I pray that they'll consider Jesus. Because, Lord, you know that's the decision that we all have to make, is to consider. And, Lord, I pray that they'll come to know you. Father, we pray for the request of prayer. We pray for the needs. And Lord, we just look into you. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn writer said these words: "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And all the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." Two times in the book of Hebrews, we are told to consider Jesus. One is where we were just reading just a few moments ago. And there's another place in the book of Hebrews, which is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. The Bible says, "For consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." So I think it's worthy for us to consider Jesus, to consider him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You know, when we have a problem, or when we have a situation and we aren't sure what to do, and we need some feedback, or maybe someone who has been experienced with whatever that issue is. And there's a lot of issues in life that we have. It could be simple, it could be complex, it could be hard, it could be easy. But sometimes when we just need to run things by other individuals. And as you're talking to an individual, the individual, his or her reply might be, Have you considered this? Or have you considered that? In other words, that is to kind of give you maybe a different perspective, or to give you consideration based upon maybe experience or based upon prior knowledge. But they're asking you to consider. And so that's what we need to do tonight, and that's what I challenge us to do tonight, is to consider. Well, who is it that we're considering? Well, we're considering Jesus. And in reality, in the Bible, Jesus himself used the word consider. He used the word consider. Luke chapter 12, I want to read to you a portion. It's actually a parable of a rich, the Bible actually says that the man was foolish. But in verse 16 of Luke chapter 12, the Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them," meaning Jesus, "the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all the fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast made goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that lieth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, which shall be put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And notice what he says in verse 24, consider the ravens, that they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye yet better than the fowls? So in other words, as he was talking this parable and speaking this parable, and we know the parable deals with someone focusing on riches more than focusing on really the Lord, and the person was storing up all these goods when in fact, for lack of better terms, he wasn't there to enjoy them. And then he says, consider the ravens, because God provides for the ravens. But he used the word consider. He used those words. Well, the writer in the book of Hebrews is telling his readers to ultimately, when we think of the word consider and to consider Christ, the writer of Hebrews is telling his readers to give attention on Jesus and learn from him. Our focus in life, and we have a lot of focuses, there's a lot of things that pull us in a lot of directions, but the first focus in life should be Jesus. It should be our relationship with him. It should be where we are in our relationship with him. Regardless of anything else that's going on, regardless of anything else that's happening, we should keep our relationship with the Lord first and foremost. And for us to do that, we must consider him. If a person could have anything that they wanted in life, I wonder what the choice would be. Some would choose wealth. Some would choose riches. Some might choose a long and healthy and prosperous life. Some might even choose healing or healing from a sick or healing from a disease. What would it be? What would be in the first forefront of your life? Well, there's a songwriter that said, "I'd rather have Jesus more than silver and gold. I'd rather have Him than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus more than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by His nail-pierced hands than to be a king of a vast domain and be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today." Consider Jesus. Consider Jesus. There's a few things that I would like to make mention tonight, and that is this: for us to consider Him and for Him to be in the first or forefront of our life, there's some things that I think would be important for us to consider. And that is this: concentrate on Jesus. Concentrate on Jesus. When I was playing sports many years ago now, there was two sports that I really enjoyed playing. I enjoyed playing basketball and I enjoyed playing baseball. And as you grow in these sports, then, you know, people and players become stronger and they become more experienced. And so they, and if you're playing baseball, to a batter, they can be more intimidating. When we lived down east, or down, I say east, it was actually in Salisbury, in the area of Salisbury, so that wouldn't be east, but I used to play baseball, and it was used to be considered Pony League. And I remember playing, and there was the bigger they are on the mound, a pitcher, the more intimidating that they are, and I think they do that on purpose. But I remember, I had never seen it before, but the coach of the other team, actually put an orange, ring around the catcher's mitt, and it was fluorescent. So when you walked up, then believe it or not, that glove was intimidating, or at least it was to me. And then when you, on top of that, when you have someone pitching that's about 2 feet taller than you are, then that even becomes more intimidating. And I remember the first time that I batted against this team, the first time I went up to bat, I remember striking out. And I don't even remember even swinging. And my dad would say, "Keep your eye on the ball." My dad was my biggest supporter, but he was also my biggest critic. Because no matter whether I thought I did good at something or not, he very seldom said I did good. He would just say how I could do it better. But I become intimidated, and I took my eye off the ball. And I become intimidated by the situation. I become intimidated by the surroundings. I become intimidated by what was taking place at the time. And do you know, sometimes life causes that. Sometimes life, based upon whatever situation we're in or circumstance we're in, sometimes we can become intimidated by what's happening. Maybe we don't know what to do, or maybe we've never been in a circumstance before, or maybe there's a challenge that's set before us and we're just not sure. And we become intimidated, and a lot of times when we become intimidated, then we do nothing, just like when I was standing up to bat. Now, I will say, on the second go-around, I at least swung. I don't remember if I hit, but I remember at least swinging. But the thought was, keep your eye on the ball. That's what you do. Well, the thought tonight is, as we consider or concentrate on Jesus, is we're not keeping our eye on the ball, but we're keeping our eyes on Christ, regardless of the circumstances. You see, there's a lot of things that can take our eyes off of Jesus. And, our eyes can be caused, or our eyes can be taken off of Jesus Christ because of the things of the world. And I'm not necessarily talking about, the life of the world or anything like that. I'm just talking about the affairs of the world, which is this. The world is full of problems. The world is full of false hope. The world is full of counterfeit ideas. The world is full of empty religion. And the world is full of sin and disobedience. Kind of reminds me of a story I heard one time. And I don't know if they do it as much now, because if you hand a cashier anything over a $20 bill, then a lot of times they'll look at it and they'll take a marker and they'll put a line through it. And that's to tell if it's counterfeit. Well, back years ago, I was told the story. Back years ago, the way that you could tell a counterfeit bill wasn't learning what people could do when people made counterfeit, but the way that they learned a counterfeit bill was to focus on the real. In other words, the focus was on the real bill, and you learn about the real bill, and then the counterfeit stands out. Well, that's what we do when it comes to Jesus Christ. We concentrate on Jesus. We concentrate on Him. We concentrate on who He is, what He's done, and the fact that He is truth, as the Bible says. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth. So that simply tells us that we set our affections on Him, so we concentrate on Him. And so as we consider Christ, then we need to concentrate on Christ. A good runner, when they're pacing themselves, an experienced runner, if you've ever run a marathon, has anybody here ever run a marathon? Y'all like I am, aren't you? I don't even watch a marathon, really. But those that know how to run them and those that can run them, I admire them. But those that run, as they're running their race, if we were to run and we're focusing on the runners around us, then we're going to wear ourselves out. But what you have to do is focus on the race and not those things that's around us. So as we consider Christ and as we concentrate on Him, then we need to focus on our race, not on someone else's race. It's easy to give someone else advice. It's easy to give someone else direction, and we're not even really giving the same advice to us. So we need to concentrate on Him. We need to concentrate on who He is, and we consider Him. May we take our eyes off of the world, and may we concentrate on Jesus. Number two, we need to consider His faithfulness. You'll never find anyone any more faithful than Jesus Christ. You look back at your life, I look back at my life, and I can truly say He's been faithful. He's been faithful. Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. He even says, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He also says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. You see, I'm thankful for His faithfulness. Faithfulness. So we need to consider His faithfulness. Why not put our trust in someone that is faithful? Why not consider tonight someone that is faithful, that understands all things? You know, when you talk to an individual and you're talking to them about a problem in life, they might tell you, well, I've never gone through that before, but maybe here's some advice. Well, when we're talking to Jesus Christ, He knows everything. And He knows every problem, every situation. He knows every circumstance. There's nothing He doesn't know, and therefore we can consider Him because He's faithful. He's faithful. Something else that we must do, there must be a continual observation. Continual observation. And I kind of look at it like this. We are fixing our eyes on Jesus and leaving them there. We are fixing our eyes on Jesus and leaving them there. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's not just a special service thing. But it's we're fixing our eyes on Him and focusing on Him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, the Bible says, "For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." So that's simply telling us that we need to consider Him. We need to focus on Him because He's already gone through it. He understands it. He understands, what He had to do, the penalty for sin. He took our place, not that He was a sinner, because He wasn't. He was perfect. He was the only one that could die for our sins. He was the sacrifice for us. But the Scripture's saying is that we consider Him, and when we consider Him, then it helps us from being weary, and it helps us from fainting. I don't know if you've ever fainted before. Some have and some haven't, but I haven't. I've come close to fainting one time when I had cut my finger and it was pretty deep, and somebody decided to pour alcohol on it, who was studying to be a paramedic. You know, he never did make the paramedic field, but he sure tried on me. But the closest time I've ever come to fainting was when that happens. But I will say I was just before fainting, and I remember thinking that everything was getting dim and everything was starting to go away, and it seemed like I didn't even know what was going on. But you know, sometimes in life it happens like that. It happens when we're so weary about things and when we're so troubled about things and we focus on those things, we kind of come to the point where we feel like we're going to faint. Well, when we consider Christ, as the Bible says, then we won't be weary and we won't faint. You know, it's easy to become weary in this life. Weary speaks of sickly, and weary speaks of weak. So many are preoccupied with the world instead of Jesus, and therefore it's easy to become weary. But Jesus gives life, and He's the life giver. And we can have life more abundantly, as the Bible says, in Jesus. But as I mentioned before, fainting, that's kind of a blackout. And the moment we take our eyes off Jesus, then we faint. You know, there's someone in the Bible that we all know that did just that. Peter asked to walk on the water, and Jesus says to come. And the winds were blowing, the seas were high, and ultimately Jesus had to lift Peter up because Peter took his eyes off of Him. And you know, it's easy for that to happen. It's easy for us to take our eyes off the Lord, and therefore we need to consider Jesus. It's easy to let life's cares cause us to lose focus, cause us to take our eyes off the ball, and it's easy to be troubled about the things in this world, but most importantly, we need to focus, which is our third point, and that is this: focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing, the hope firm unto the end. He is one who preserves his people. We can trust him. He's one who preserves his people. He is also one that provides for his people. He provides. And so we understand that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he preserves his people, he provides for his people, and he empowers his people. He empowers his people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria unto the othermost parts of the earth. We need to focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. You see, we have a lot to be thankful for tonight. We have a lot to consider tonight. But as all the things that we have to consider, I hope that our main focus tonight is on Jesus. I hope that our main focus is considering him. I read to you that first hymn that I read a few moments ago. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and all the things on earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Consider Jesus. May we pray tonight. Father, thank you for our time together. And Lord, as many things as life brings us, challenges, disappointments, discouragements, Lord, I pray that we each one will consider Jesus, that our focus will be on Jesus, that our hearts will be full of Jesus. And Lord, no matter what happens in this life, no matter what disappointments we may receive, no matter what disappointments we may endure, encounter, help us to never take our eyes off Jesus. He is the one that we look to. He is the one that we trust. He is the one that will help us. So, Father, if there's someone that has a need tonight, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to that heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.